Amen, 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 amen. So, sadly, this week is the end. The Father's Day is coming to an end today. I heard that there is cake being prepared for the fathers, by the mothers. Oh, by Marcus. Okay, Marcus by popular demand. But we bless the Lord. So let's continue and try and get to where God would allow us to get to and cover a bit more ground. So last week we started talking about the presence of God. And right off the bat, let me just say this. The presence of God is never to make us weird. Because of all the things that happen, especially in our context, sometimes spirit-filled people or those who walk in the presence of the Lord can be very weird. They act weird, talk weird, sometimes dress weird. And it's never the intention that whenever we start walking with God or being aware of the presence of God, that he would make us weird and giving us a very different lingo and different intonation of our voice and words. And so we talked about one. We started looking at the broad categories of the presence of God. And we looked at one. What does it mean when we talk about God's omnipresence? And you know, we delved into the fact that God is present everywhere at the same time. And sometimes it's a concept that within our minds we can't fathom, because you can't fathom how you can be here and at home at the same time. But it's an attribute of God. And we also looked at some scriptures that speak to this specific fact of God's omnipresence. And we looked at the good one, the classic one, Psalms 139, which as well Lynn referenced to during worship this morning, where David says, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. That such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand." Then he says, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you." And you know, I believe as well, part of what David was also trying to speak to in this verse is to also allay fears, because oftentimes trouble can make as if God's presence is not there. It is not that the presence of troubles means the absence of God. Hello? It is not the presence of trouble that make it appear as if it is the absence of God. But even in our deepest times, which David was talking about, even when I make my hell down in the grave, God's presence is still there. Even in your current circumstance that looks as if it is not breaking, as if you've been stuck for a while, even in that situation, God's presence is there. Hello? Even in the extreme circumstances, God is there. And you know, it's a philosophical question which we started asking in our table in terms of, but why does God allow trouble to come our way? There are so many answers. That is a topic by itself, which I hope we can delve into at one of these points. But from scripture, we can also see that trouble was always an opportunity, or challenges were also an opportunity for God to glorify himself in people's lives. And the classic example is the one of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, I pronounce that name well. Hey, that is the first time I've pronounced Abednego without putting my Kenyan-ness inside. My special spice, my masala tea inside in the intonation. But you know, when Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fire, Daniel chapter 3, and he said, make it hotter than it has ever been. Because you know, troubles are never easy. Troubles are never easy. Someone is nodding their head vigorously. Trouble is never easy. And then as he threw them into the fire, he expected roast meat will start smelling at some point. But then he got up and he went and looked and he was like, I thought we threw three men into the fire. But right now I see there is a fourth man in that fire. And more than anything, he says, and you know, I would be like, but where did the revelation come to Nebuchadnezzar that he said, and this fourth man is not looking like an ordinary man. He looks like a son of God. And they are not being consumed by the fire. In fact, it looks as if they are throwing a party in the fire. So our response in the midst of troubling times really matters a lot. Sing a song. Sing a new song in the midst of the things that seem not to be moving. Thank God for the opportunity for him to glorify himself. Thank God for new opportunities that he is opening. Change your perspective, because God has not left you in the thickest of thick, if there's something like that. In the darkest of night, God is there with us. And you know, from my own, which I'll share, one of the most interesting bits is how praise ushers in peace in the midst of fire. Even if you may not understand why exactly it is happening, praise through the storm. Even if it seems hard and you need an extra minute or two for you to find the praise tune, because you know in trouble there's some songs you can't sing. You need a different tune. You know, you'll start one and that one, you're like, no, that one is not catching on. Then you switch to another one. You're like, okay, it's seeming, it's building up. Then you're like, okay, Lord, I will praise you through the storms. That's the worst rendition of that song, sorry. Frank is looking at me with judging eyes. And you know, we praise God through everything. I love David. David says in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. It was not that he was going through easy bits and pieces all way long, all through the way. He got anointed to be king, but had to wait for a long time for him to even be accepted as a king. And I am praying to God that even the things that God has released over our lives that have seemed to tarry, that we will praise God as we wait for the things and the promises of God in our lives. Let me say it again. That we will not give up as we wait on God for the things that he has placed in our hearts and in our lives. Let me say it again. That we will wait on God and we will not give up in the process of waiting. Amen. So, that was one. We talked about the omnipresence nature of God. Then we talked about, what was the next thing that we talked about? the indwelling presence of God. And we talked about the indwelling presence as one of the things that happens to believers. That there is a God deposit that takes place in our hearts. That we do not have to look for God anywhere else because we become carriers of God. Hello? And you know, the beautiful thing about this is it all happens by an act of God. That you do not have to strive. All you need to do is, as the word is preached, as a conviction of the heart takes place, that as you think through, as you evaluate your life, and you're like, Lord, I am surrendering my life to you. And the rest God does. Because he said this and he promised in Ezekiel chapter 36 from verse 26 to 27, where he speaks about, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. And you know, the beautiful thing about this is that we do not strive to confirm whether the presence of the Lord is within us or not. We do not wake up on a Sunday morning or on a Monday morning and they're like, I think the presence of the Lord is no longer in me. I did not pray enough this whole week. I just don't think like he is there anymore. He is there. One is the awareness of knowing that he is there that is needed. Hello? Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor the presence of the Lord, the indwelling presence is in you. And if they are not looking convinced, look at your other neighbor and tell them, you know, the indwelling presence is in you. And then we read a beautiful passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 16. The summary of it is that, you know, where Paul is saying from the Passion Translation that we did not receive the spirit of religious duty. So it is not a religious obligation, a religious tick box that we ought to be doing, but says, but we have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolded into the family of God. And in other versions says that now we can be able to cry out, Abba Father. Because God's spirit can identify with the deposit of his own spirit within us. Hello? Within us. And that's why I was saying as well, in the midst of all this acrobatics happening in the world. Oh, you should buy water from River Jordan. Or you should buy handkerchiefs and scarves from Sijuwea. Or you should buy a mop, broomstick. You know, all these manner of machinations. It does not apply because we have all been enfolded into the family of God. If I were to say it in Swahili, it would slap. But because I need to translate it first in my mind, let me not say it. It will come out differently from how it needs to come out. So, then once we understand the indwelling presence is in us, it is our responsibility to live with this awareness and with this reality in our lives. Because nobody can be able to make it real to you unless you understand it, grasp it, and live according to having God in you. Hello? The third one, the manifest presence. Manifest presence. Now, when we talk about manifest presence, it is that you realize time after time, it's almost like the veil between the supernatural and the natural is torn. And there is a tangible presence that can be seen, tongues of fire for the apostles. It can be felt. You can just feel a sensation of God in a room. And it can be witnessed, even up to the healing miracles that we can see. That is when we are referring to a manifest presence, whereby that veil is torn and that reality of God becomes visible to people. Hello? Just like we were worshiping this morning, I could feel that there was a manifest presence, because I could feel like the room was changing. That it was not just the same room that we stepped into in the morning, feeling cold and trying to balance, should we smile or not smile, and just trying to see, okay, I've not seen puppy for a few days, what should be my response? Should my neighbor hear that I am shouting out loud and I'm singing out of tune, what should be my response? But, you know, when the manifest presence comes, all those inhibitions, even in the mind, they break off. And you just find yourself as if you are just there, you alone with God, singing to him. And you know, it's not that you start saying, hey, today Frank has sung 40 minutes. I mean, what is Frank doing? Does he not know that we are on a schedule? Oftentimes the manifest presence disrupts schedules. And then it's more about what God is saying, how God is moving, than even what we are thinking ought to be. And you know, in these moments and in these times when there is such a manifest presence, it is never in vain. God never makes himself manifest for the sake of making himself manifest. There is always a reason why God would come and make himself manifest. And I'm praying as well, even if it may feel or sound strange, that in the course of today, in the course of this week, that we will all be able to experience God's manifest move in our lives. We have been created to experience and to walk with God. And this is not a reality for a few. Hello? It's not a reality for Frank. It's a reality for all who have been enfolded into the family of God. Because the nature of God is, he is excited to come and hang out with you. Look at your neighbor, tell them, even you. Even me. Even you. And this is the reality of how we've been called to live. Because any parent who stays away from a child is not a good parent. See, that's true. And we as the children of God, our Father delights when he hangs out with us. And it is not, you do not need to do acrobatics. We'll talk about how to invite the presence of God. And it can be done by each and every one of us. That it is not just on a Sunday when Frank and Lynn are coming, lifting their voices. That is when our Father decides to show up. That would be an absentee father, absentee parent. If you only meet your parent once a week, I mean. And you know, I'm saying this as well, knowing that there may be extreme cases where that was the case for you. And sorry, that is not ideal. But in the same time, God is a good, good father. He's not just a good father, he's a good, good father. And so in his goodness, he delights when we are able to hang out with him. And it's not just I have 100, my prayer list has 105 things that I need to come and tell God, God, you must come and do X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, all the way repeat. But just hanging out with him. And you know, this manifest presence has always been explained differently by different people. In our table again, people are talking about their own experiences. And some talked about how they've experienced God as peace.
Sorry?
Peace. And joy. And some talked about how they've also experienced God as a cloak. And how he has entered a room. And you felt, just like Lynn was also saying, you know, you all of a sudden you feel this room is very different. It's not the same as it was before. And all of a sudden you feel like there's some weight within you that has lifted. And all of a sudden you start breaking out in praise. And some spoke about how it's been for them. These are the strange ones and the weird ones. It's been a breaking out of laughter. Ha ha ha! In the middle of the day. And all manner of joy and peace just flooding our hearts. And you know, it is so much more than even how people can be able to describe it. And at times it's only by saying, taste it and see how it will be like for you. Taste for yourself how this manifest presence will be like for you. If you've had a manifest experience at one point or another, then set yourself up for another experience. You know, we cannot live off from revelations and his manifestation of 2022 in 2023. It was nice. It was good. It was explosion. It was wow. But now we need another wow for 2023. Hello? So, other times again, just a floodgate of love. Other times, a floodgate of just healing. Other times, just a floodgate of doors opening up. Other times, a floodgate of what seemed to be impossible becomes possible. That other time, it's like after knocking on doors, all of a sudden someone comes to and calls you and said, "Hey, Frank, I just remembered you, and just, I felt like telling you and giving you this." Hello? All manner of ways in which we experience the manifest presence. But I want us to look at the reasons for manifest presence. Why does this happen? Because again, just as I emphasize, God does not just show up for no reason or purpose. When he manifests his presence, there is something he wants to do in our lives. Hello? So number one, his presence, for those who are not believing, is an invitation to relationship. Mm-hmm. It's an invitation to relationship. Remember, the hallmark of Genesis chapter 1, when God formed the world. When you come to chapter 3, it talks about the nature of God having or finding pleasure to have communion with man. Because it speaks about how God used to walk in the cool of the day and have a conversation with Adam. And this was the normality of what used to happen. So Eden was almost like the place where communion between God and man would take place. And so, at the fall of man, that relationship got broken, but Christ came to restore that relationship so that that same communion that existed from the word go would be existent even for us. Hello? And so, you know, there's this song we sing. Actually, Frank sings it. he would leave he would leave the 99 for the one. Reckless love. Because he would pay the price to mend a relationship between any human being with himself. And he paid that price. So, a good example, and I talk about for relationship, is the story of Paul. The story of Paul in Acts chapter 9 from verse 4 to 7. Paul, of course, by then Saul, was on a mission. And then he went and got orders to go and track down some other believers in a different town. And then in the midst of him going to his assignment, the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And it is very interesting because the Bible says all the others that were with Paul were confused by what was happening with Paul. And it says, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. The voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And then it says, "The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one." You know, the miracle in this story is not even what happened after. But the miracle of this story is the fact that just for the sake of being able to reach, because at that point I would imagine Jesus was seeing the Gentiles that he was calling Paul for, and just because of mending relationship, he would come down to be able to have a conviction and have to speak to Saul himself. That just because of the assignment in our lives, God would break the barrier of the supernatural to the natural, because it's never easy for someone to come and say, "I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sin." It takes the work and the hand of God for that to happen. Hello? And so, Saul pays the price and is changed. And it's the same with the story of the woman at the well. John 4 verse 4, you can go and read it. You know, where Jesus, and it says in verse 4, which is very fascinating, that it was a must for Jesus to pass through Samaria. Why? Because of the assignment that was on the Samaritan woman. Hello? That he came and said, she came and said, "I met the one who told me about everything I've ever done." And this same Samaritan woman was used as an evangelist to prepare the city of Samaria, because what he did, he went and called all the men and brought them and told them, "Come and see the one who has told me about everything that I've ever done." So, his presence is made manifest for the sake of being able to do what? To an invitation to a relationship. Even healing that would happen, it is always a vehicle that God is using to be able to build a relationship, especially with those who are not in faith. Point number two, that for believers, his presence, this could be to encourage, convict, strengthen, heal, lead, save, whatever he desires to do. Whatever he desires to do. And I remember 2020-2021 for me was a, what's the right word to describe? It was a reset is a good way of saying it. Yeah? It was tailspin or a storm, to put it lightly. And I remember 2021 especially. In the midst of 2020, we got blessed with twins. And then, you know, trying to figure out fatherhood, trying to figure out church transitions, trying to figure out even what else? COVID as a whole. Then 2021, I remember even before my dad passed in September, around March, April, it was a very difficult time for me. There were Sundays I would drag myself, but the battle that was within me was very intense. And I could feel as if, and this was a very fascinating experience, I could feel as if I am locked in a room all by myself, and I'm trying to shout, but no one is listening. And I'm trying to claw my way out, but no one is there even to understand. And I remember, I got to a place whereby I was just asking God, give me strength for the next day. All, I do not want to know the future, just give me strength so that I can just see the next day. And I would fight a war that seemingly was not coming to an end. I would wake up at night as a good husband. I do not want to bother my wife too much. Then I am crying out to God. I'm like, God, hear where I am. God, help me. I need to be rescued from something I cannot be able to put my finger to it, because it's something that was very new, very, very new to me. And then I remember on one of those nights, I woke up and I was just still crying out to the Lord. Because I'm like, Lord, if then this is the end, then it needs to be a good end. Then I'm like, Lord, if this is the end, what would I look back and say, this is what I have done? And then strange, as I'm praying all this, I get a very strange visitation. And I turn, I just open scripture, and I just start reading Psalm 16, verse 8. And then I'm like, then God is saying, start making this declaration over your life. And I remember I started making that declaration, not once, not twice. It became the song for the rest of 2021. Until I got to a place whereby I was like, okay, I am feeling that this room that was locked, all of a sudden, the doors have been kicked open, and I am no longer trapped within a box. And that's why Psalm 16 verse 8 remains one of my favorite scriptures. Just like Psalm's favorite scripture is Romans what? 12 verse 1 and 2. Psalm 16 verse 8 is my scripture. And it says this, let me just read it out from the New King James Version, that I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh will also rest in hope. The Passion Translation says it different. It says, because I set you, Yahweh, always close to me, my confidence will never be weakened. For I experience your wrap-around presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure. So his presence is very, very important, because it allows us to be lifted out of very murky, stucky grounds. And we get a different perspective. We get a very different way of looking at things. We get strengthened from the inside. Because once your inside is strengthened, then your outside will bounce back. Hello? So it's not about just the what we see and you're saying, I am good. But it matters what is inside. And that's why as well we talked about soliloquy a while back, if you can remember. Soliloquy. I am saying, Amunga, soliloquy. Oh, Amunga wasn't here. The things that we speak to our spirit in the midst of battle. What do we speak to ourselves in the midst of our lives? Do we speak defeat or do we speak the words of God that speak of victory over anything and everything that we are facing? Hello? So, number three, that his presence is an opportunity for God to reveal his character and nature. His character and nature. You know? Genesis chapter 12 speaks of the story of Abraham. So God comes to Abraham and says, I'm paraphrasing, Abraham, I want you to leave everything that you are used to, everything that was a comfort for you, everything that you once knew as you were growing up. And I want to send you to a place that I will show you. So please follow me. And you know, when you read the history of Abraham and his father, Terah, they used to serve sun gods and all manner of gods. And all of a sudden, God is introducing himself to Abraham, who knew not of who God was. And I say it, it's almost like saying, Collins. And Collins is like, yes. But I'm wondering, would Collins just say, here I am, send me, or would Collins say, who are you in the first place and why are you talking to me? Then he's like, Collins, come. I want you to follow me. Leave everything that you're used to. Leave Safaricom. Safaricom is where he works. Leave Safaricom. God is not telling him, leave Safaricom, go to Fiber. Or go to, which other one? MTN. He's saying, leave Safaricom and I will show you where you need to go. Leave Doros, Terence. Abandon Doros and all that you have done to build that infrastructure of Doros and I will show you. You know, God was not telling Abraham, I'm showing you, when am I showing you? He's just saying, leave, I will show you. But then, in verse 12, apart from just telling him, leave and I will show you, he tells me in verse 2, that I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. That all the families on earth will be blessed through you. And you know, for me what sits as I was reading this is the fact that the nature and the character of God is to bless us. Let me say it again. That the nature and character of God, as we walk with him, is that he would pour his blessings on us. Hello? Just turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, the nature of God is to bless you. You know, I'm asking you to tell your neighbor, because there's different scripts of what this has been called. All this is prosperity gospel. It's scripture. It's scripture. That the nature of God is to bless us. Then, in Genesis 15, he still comes to Abraham again. And he comes to him and he picks up on the conversation that they were having. So God comes to Abraham and tells him, let me read the NLT. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram by then, in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." I like the Amplified Version. It says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great." Now, my first profession was that I was trained as a teacher. So there's this thing with teachers whereby there's always this tagline that says that you work hard here on earth, but your reward will be where? In heaven. And then, currently now working as a pastor, still the tagline is the same. That work hard here on earth and your reward will be what? Where? In heaven. That shall not be my portion. If I only wait for heaven to be paid what I'm doing here on earth, anyway. So God appears to Abraham and is like, "You know what? My nature is also of protection over my people. As a nature of God." And when I was coming to faith, another story, when I was coming to faith, you know, I grew up in, my father was a traditional man, but not a traditional man in, please, let me repeat that sentence. There are people who... There are people who are confused. Well, my father was a traditional man in this sense. I've never heard him say the words, "I love you." Yeah, for him, just like Frank used to say, actions speak louder than words. As long as he feeds you, he feels like, because that's the concept of how he grew up in. So coming to faith was a bit hard for me because I couldn't understand how to tell God, "I love you, God." Or even anyone, "I love you." I would be like, "See my actions. Make the conclusion that I like you very much." So it was very difficult for me, because that's the context that I grew up in. My father mellowed, you know, age mellows people. My father mellowed when he turned about 50 going onwards. But you know, by then, I was having my own struggles of realizing or understanding the whole concept of love. But then on one of the visitations I've had back then, I just felt an overwhelming sense of love. You know, the scripture that speaks of the depth, the width, the height of God's love. And I felt my heart became so soft to be able to say, I love you, God. Simba can attest. I am able to say, I love you, Simba. At least my wife can attest to that. It would be weird and strange for me to constantly say, I like you. I like you very much. I like you very, very much. I have positive feelings towards you. I have very, very strong feelings towards you. What does that even mean? And so there was that revelation in that experience to fully understand that God is love. And I could feel my heart was not just replaced, but it was filled with love and the capacity to not just show it in actions, but to say it in words and mean it at the same time. And you know, I am also saying this to say, for those that may not have, because no father is perfect, but for those that may not have had a perfect family home, whereby these things were expressed and these things were known, I am praying that God would touch our hearts and give us a revelation of what God's love means. Because he would leave the 99 just for you. So, the last point. Point number four, that his presence is always to draw us near to himself. That his presence is always to draw us near to himself. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15 speaks on the same. Well, it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. Again, just a point that I had emphasized early on, the fact that his presence is always an invitation for us to linger with him. His presence is always an invitation for us to linger with him. That before he even sends us out, he values spending time with us. Before he tasks us with anything to do, he prefers and wants to be able to commune with us. And you know, the difference in all this lies in our awareness of the presence of God. The difference in walking in all this is in understanding that there is nothing that ought to separate you from God. The difference in walking in this awareness is in knowing that out of all of us, we each can be able to get into the presence of God. You do not need to be a pastor or the worship leader for you to be able to do this. And you know, the awareness that God is interested in hearing your voice, the awareness that God is interested in you as Sam Chege, in you as Diana, in you as Agnes, in you as Alice, in you as Georgina. God is interested in you. And he says that he has given you a name, that he has accepted you, the spirit of full acceptance, that we can be able to come in and spend time with him. So for me, every time I am in God's presence, I always expect the unexpected. I am expectant. I do not want to miss him as he moves and as he speaks. So let's stand up on our feet, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm praying that our hunger for his presence would be pricked just a bit for us to be able to dive in and want to just spend time with him. I am praying that we would be pricked and just say, I thank God for that experience that I had. I need to encounter him more. I thank God for this fire. I thank God for the awareness that I have of him. I want to grasp more of him. I thank God for this far that I have come, but I need more. I want more. I am desiring for more. Because the key things, even as we talk through, the key catalyst for the presence of God, hunger, desire, and expectation. Just your hunger and desire, and having an expectant heart to be able to hear from God and to meet God. So in a moment, I'll just ask the team to just sing over us just a song, maybe that one that we are singing. I want to sit at your feet. And I'll just ask you this morning, if you're hungry for God, to just stretch out your hands and to just hear from God and just worship God for a minute or two, and then we will come back and just close it out.